Last week we looked at several instances in the Old Testament in particular which showed the high level of importance, the high level of reverence that God's people needed to show for certain places and things. Now, one of the things we looked at, just as an example really, was the Ark of the Covenant. And we saw how there was something special about the Ark of the Covenant, that it wasn't just, you know, a box on poles, but that there was something sacred about it, holy about it. It was holy to the Lord, was the term that we used, to signify that it belonged to God. There was something special about it, and the people could not just use it or approach it as if, you know, it was nothing special. And we looked at the example of Uzzah, who reached out his hand to steady the ark, and the Lord had struck him dead for doing that, for showing that irreverence. We also considered some places that were holy to the Lord because of God's presence. We certainly the clearest example that came was the one on Mount Sinai with Moses and taking his sandals off because he was on holy ground. We saw that certain things or places were holy to the Lord, and it gave it some special significance, either because it belonged to God, was dedicated to God, or it signified the presence of God. So when something either belongs to God, is dedicated to the use of God, or it signifies the presence of God, then that thing or place is holy to the Lord. There's something special about it. Now, as important as the holy places and things were, and they were important, we saw there's no doubt about that in the Scripture, there is something that has even greater significance that we need to consider this morning. Several times in our Bible, when you look at the Bible, you see the concept that of a comparison of one thing and another. An example of that are the birds of the field, the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. And Jesus says, you know, if God looks after the birds of the air and the beasts of the field, how much more will He look after you, O you of little faith? That's just one example of that. Another example is the unjust judge. You remember the story of the unjust judge? The woman needed her justice met, and she went to the judge, and the judge didn't care about God and didn't care about man, and so the judge was going to do nothing for this woman. But the woman was persistent and kept going, and finally the judge relented and made sure that justice was provided. And the reason for that story was to show that if a man who doesn't care about God finally brings about justice and cares for the needs of a woman, then how much more is God, who is all loving, who is all just, how much more is He going to care for you? Okay, so we have this concept of how much more, and we see that several times in the Bible where something is happening, and then how much more because of God. Okay. Now, I say all that to say this. Now, last week we looked at places and things that were holy to the Lord. And they were. Now, what I want to share with you this morning is, if places and things were holy to the Lord, there's something much greater. How much more important is what we're going to share this morning? Okay. And what we're going to share this morning has to do with you and I. Certain places and objects were holy to the Lord. How much more important are you and I, who are made in the image of God? Okay, that's what I want us to share. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 2. We're going to look at a couple of scriptures, and this is one of them, just to start us off. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 2, it says, "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. Out of all the peoples on the face of the earth, the Lord has chosen you to be His treasured possession." Wow, isn't that great? You are a people holy to the Lord your God. If things and places were considered holy to the Lord, and they were important, how much more? Can you just imagine it? How much more value is there in your life, in my life, in the eyes of God, because we, who are created in His image, are holy to the Lord. You know, we talk about holiness, and it's almost like something we shudder about. Ugh, I don't want to talk about holiness. You know, it's a nasty thing. God delights in it. As far as God is concerned, we are called to be people who are holy to the Lord. And think of what that means when we talked about being holy to the Lord last week and how important that was and how much significance there was in that and value there was in it. It's just amazing when you realize that importance, that there are people, you, God's people, who are beyond the ordinary, beyond the common, of extreme high value. That's the way God looks at you. Isn't that amazing? That's just amazing. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 2 makes it clear that God's people were a people holy to the Lord your God, out of all the peoples on the earth. Now, this is talking there about the people of Israel. Of all the peoples of the earth, the Lord has chosen you to be His treasured possession. I don't think it's a stretch of the imagination at all to understand that that's how God sees His bride today, the church. That we are His people, holy to the Lord. And what does it mean when something is holy to the Lord? Again, it means that either it belongs completely to God, it's dedicated to His service, or it signifies the presence of God. And you know what? That's how God wants us. He wants us completely dedicated to His service. He wants us belonging to Him. And of course, because the Holy Spirit can indwell us, there is the presence of God. And so in a very real sense, we, mere humans, have the privilege of being holy to the Lord. Wow. If that doesn't get you excited, I don't know what would. In the New Testament, Peter restates the same thing in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. We're going to take a little longer look at this verse. So if you have your Bible, open it up and keep your finger there. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Peter says, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His wonderful light." You are a chosen people. We are chosen by God. That's how much God values us. He loves us. Peter made it clear to his readers that they didn't come to God because of their own initiative. You know, we were chosen by God. Peter is saying that they are not the source of their own spiritual existence. They didn't sort of pick themselves up by the spiritual bootstraps and make them into something. Peter is saying that God took the initiative in reaching out to man. You are a chosen people. You know, when we were kids in grade school and maybe high school, and you have teams in the gymnasium, and of course you've all been there, the last thing you wanted to do was to be picked last for a team. You want to be chosen. You want to be chosen quick, right? And I won't tell you what end of that deal I was at most of the time. It wasn't very pleasant. But anyway, we are chosen by God. Think about that. What does that mean? That God reaches out, that God cares, that God is interested in you. If you get nothing else out of today's message but this, remember this, that God is interested in your life. He cares about you. He's interested in what's happening. He wants you. You might not have spent your life looking for Him. You might not have spent your life living for Him. You might not even be sure what to think of Him. But He is still interested in you. He knows you. He cares about you. And He's taken the initiative to draw you to Him. Okay? Sometimes we think that we've done it, you know. I've done this and I've made this commitment and I've 100 other things. And we think that we're the master of our own spiritual destiny even. And yes, we have a responsibility, of course, but the fact that we are here this morning is because God has awakened something within us to draw us to Him. So He has chosen you. You are a chosen people. What a blessing. John 15:16 said, "You did not choose me," Jesus said, "but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name." Again, you are chosen by God. You just can't beat that anywhere. Peter expressed this reality in the next verse. "Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God." We have been chosen to be on God's team, to be on God's side. He cares. He's interested. Secondly, you are a holy people. People went on to make this claim. You are a holy nation. When something is chosen by God, it is His, it becomes holy. It becomes uncommon. And what Peter is saying is that God not only chooses us, He chooses us for Himself so that we can be a holy nation or a holy people. And being a holy people simply means that we belong to Him. That we are dedicated to Him, to His use, to His purpose. When God's people were at Mount Sinai following their deliverance from Egypt, the Lord spoke through Moses. He said, "Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." That's God's desire for His people, a holy people. Peter said the same thing. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. An amazing concept. We are people who are called to be holy, set apart, uncommon, out of the ordinary. That's what God wants in our lives. It doesn't matter what your work is. It doesn't matter if you're younger or older. It doesn't matter if you're well-educated or have a basic education. It doesn't even really matter where you've come from. That is your past. God's desire for you is to be a holy people, a people belonging to God, set apart. That's what God's desire is for us. He's chosen us to be His people, holy. Holiness is more than a theory. Holiness is more than an ideal. Holiness is a reality for all persons who respond to the radical call of God in their lives and surrender their lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Holiness isn't about being better than somebody else. It isn't about being superhuman. It's about completely belonging to God. Just as there were things and places that were holy because they belonged to God, or they represented the presence of God, so also God's desire is for His people to be holy. What does that mean? That we belong completely to God. Not mostly to God. And that's the part that we get stuck, but completely to God. And that we have God's presence within us. The presence of the Holy Spirit. Holy to the Lord. As a church, we believe that when a person fully gives their lives to the Lord as a living sacrifice, that's when God's Spirit will take possession of that person, fill them, cleanse them, empower them, make them holy to the Lord, belonging to God. But it starts with our surrender. And God has a plan. He's chosen us. He's chosen us to be His people, belonging to Him, to be holy, so that we can fulfill the mission, the purpose that we are here. We are here as people called to declare the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His wonderful light. We are commissioned by God. We are sent by God. We have a purpose. Just as God loves you and calls you and desires to make you His own, He desires to do that with others. It's part of our great commission to go into all the world, teaching and preaching and making disciples. We are commissioned. We have a purpose. We are being called. We are being sent. We're not called, we're not made holy simply to come to church on Sunday morning and once a week get our weekly dosage of feeling good. We're called so that we could be sent, so that we can be used of God, so that we can go into the world, into our community, wherever God wants us to be, whatever God wants us to do, to be the salt and light in an otherwise dark world. That's our heritage as a church, as Christians, as individuals. But it all begins with our response to God. God's desire is that we would be a holy people. And if you don't think that's important, we need to understand the concept of how much more. Because if a wooden box, or if a piece of ground, or if a lampstand or whatever else could be holy to the Lord, and it can, how much more does God desire that you and I, created in His image, be people who are holy to the Lord? It's beyond imagination. And yet that's God's desire. And not only is it God's desire, that is God's plan. And that is what God will enable us. It's His work. Sometimes we think, well, I can't do that. I'll never, whatever. And it's not about you. Just like He chose you. You didn't save yourself. I didn't save myself. Yes, I came to a place in my life where I had to repent. But I didn't save myself. And likewise, I'm not going to make myself holy. I can't do that. But I can come to the place in my life where I give full surrender of my life to Him. As Doug says, the whole meal deal. All of it. So as we close this morning, I want to ask you where you're at. Where are you at today in your spiritual life? In God's calling for you today. First of all, have you experienced the wonder of God's forgiveness and mercy? That's first and foremost. Do you know that your sins have been washed away? Have you experienced it? Do you know it? Not do you think it, do you know it? If you haven't, you need to know that God is interested in you. He's interested in washing you whiter than snow. He wants to choose you to be among His people. It begins with confession and repentance. That's first and foremost. I pray that you're there. If you haven't, you can be today. Secondly, have you given your life in full surrender to the Lord? Radical surrender. Have you said to the Lord that nothing else matters more than Him and your obedience to Him? Have you asked the Lord to search the deep areas of your heart, the hidden areas, and have you turned those places over to the Lord? The Holy Spirit cannot take full possession of His people until you've turned it all over to Him. Have you given your life in full surrender to the Lord? And if you have, thirdly, have you responded to God's call in your life? That call doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be a missionary or a preacher or anything else like that necessarily. It certainly can be. Many times it is. But your calling in life is not the same as your vocation. Your vocation could be one of a thousand things. But regardless of your vocation, as a Christian, your calling is to let the light of Jesus shine through your life as you declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness. If God has done that in your life, then we need to declare that, however, wherever He leads us to. If the Lord is speaking to you today in any one of these areas, I want to encourage you to come to Him. Talk to Him. We talked about the significance of the altar last week, a place of prayer, a place where we can meet God. We can meet God anywhere. It's true. It's true. You can. But there's also significance in certain places. And if you would like to pray at an altar, do business with God, so to speak, I want to encourage you to do that. You need to give your life to the Lord, or surrender your life to the Lord, or seek God's calling purpose for your life. It's a great place to do it. So if God is speaking to you in any way today, I want to encourage you to come to pray while we sing, while we pray at any time. The altars are always available to come and do business with the Lord as He leads you, as His Spirit moves you. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we want to thank You this day. It is truly a remarkable thing that we can be people that are being called by You, called to belong to You, just as things and places were holy to the Lord. Your desire is for us, Your people, Your children, to be holy to the Lord. Father God, we feel so unworthy of that so many times. Father God, we just want to come to You in our weakness, in our frailty, and ask, Lord God, that You do Your work in our lives. If there's anyone here this morning, Lord God, who hasn't made a confession of faith in You, Lord, yet, and maybe they're doing so now, I just pray, Lord, that You'd just touch them and move them to do so, Lord. If there's any here this morning who need to give their lives in full surrender to You, Lord, that Your Spirit would have control of every part of our lives. Father, I pray that You'd help us to take that step, Lord, of faith, to give our lives to You, to be, as written in Romans, a living sacrifice. Father, help us, Lord God. Help us to respond to You however You lead, that we may be Your people, a people belonging to God. Thank You, Jesus. Amen.